Okay, let's start again the Gemara of the Hani B'nai Kikunai. Okay, it's on the Samach and Aleph. Let's start from the third wide line. The third wide line, the Gemara tells a story. Hani B'nai Kikunai, the Oslo Kamid of Yosef Amulei, Havlan Gava de la Arvlan Mosin. Provide us with an expert, a mumche, that can make for us a community Erev. We want an expert. Amulei Abaya, so. Rav Yosef, who was the Rav, he said, Abaya, you're the person. You are our man.
Rav Yosef was Abaya's Rebbe, no?
Could be, obviously, yeah, I guess so. Yeah, I guess so. I don't know, yeah. So Rav Yosef said to Abaya, Abaya, you are the designated person to fulfill this task. I'm sending you out as a shliach all the way to the North Pole, to the city of Kikunai, in order to do the Zil Arv Luhu. Go make an Erev and make sure I don't read the newspapers. They don't come back to the Beis Midrash and complain that you've done an Erev that's not accepted by the community. Or we'll see, really, make sure you don't do things which are problematic. Does not necessarily mean that it's not accepted. We'll see exactly what the Gemara means. What was the potential pitfall, the problem that was here? That the Erev is acceptable to all, and there are no complaints. Ozal, Abaya went. Chazalahan b'nei b'bate de pesiche l'nahara. So here we have an ear shel rabbi, we have a sim which belongs to the entire tzibut. So basically, the first issue that Abaya is going to deal with is the issue that you must leave over a shiur. You must leave over a section of the city that's not part of the Erev. So you have to find people, like you have to find a section of the city that's not going to be part of the Erev. That's halacha. We spent the last 2 days on this. You want to make an Erev in a city, an Ir Shel Rabim, fine, go right ahead, as long as everything is kedas uchadin. But one of the conditions is that there must be residents within the city that are not part of the Erev, so that the people who are part of the Erev do not forget there's something called an Erev. Okay. So Omar. So what did Abaya say? Abaya said, "Hanu lahavi shiur l'masa." So he saw they were batim. So one more time, Ozal he went. Chazal lahanu bat the psichel nahari. He saw that they were batim. They were open to the river. Towards the back of the city, there was a section of homes, and the homes were open to the river, to the back end of the city. And these homes, the way the city was constructed, it was done in a very unique way, where the people who lived in this last row had no access to the main part of the city. Because you have a city, and you have the last row of the city, the last street of the city is open to a river, opens up to a river, and all of the homes of that city have their openings to the river, and the backs of the homes are solid, and there's basically no way for the people in those homes to have access to the rest of the city. Okay?
Maybe the river was part of the Erev.
The what?
Maybe they used the river as the Erev.
Yeah, in Echanami, the river in Echanami, the river, that can be part of the fourth wall in Echanami.
Okay,
but that's the problem. The problem is those people live in the city. Those people who are living in that. We need a group of people that are not going to be part of the Erev. Now, the problem here is this last row. When you want to make an Erev, you have to have access to each other. If you have two courtyards, okay, for example, you have two courtyards, and they're right next to each other, and there's no door. There's no access from one courtyard to the other courtyard. There is no way in the world these two courtyards can make an Erev. Now why would you, if you tell them, well, there's no access, how are they going to get from one place to the other? They'll throw things over the wall. Or you have two courtyards next to each other. Can you do that?
How did these people get out during the week?
I don't know. Maybe they had a boat. I don't know the answer. They did something to get out during the week. I don't know the answer. But this last row had really no access to the main part of the city, because that they had a wall separating themselves from the city, and their homes opened frontwards towards the river. So Abaya said that since these people anyway, they're separate. You know what? We're going to use them as the shiur. They're all part of this. They're all enclosed within the city walls. They are not going to be part of the Erev. And that way, we'll mekayim the halacha of a shiur by not including the people in this last row.
I hope this is all theory, because how do they?
No, this is a real.
They couldn't get out.
this Maishahoya, how they got out, let's say you're right, they had a boat. Let's say the only way they got out.
They go and borrow a shot, then they go to Beis Knesset.
What? They had their own Beis Knesset.
They had what?
They had their own Beis Knesset. That last row, that last block had their own shul. It was like a little community within a community.
I don't buy that.
So like,
the details, we don't have to know all the details. We just have to get the basic sense of what the Gemara wants of us to know to understand the halacha. We have a city. It's all enclosed. It's in one area. We have a row. The row, we want to use this row as the shear for the city. The problem is this row has really no axe. So here comes the Gemara's kasha. These are the daf. When you want to use a section as for a shear of the city, does that section have to have potential, if you want, to be part of the Erev? So here in this instance, since this last row has separated by a wall, there, even if we wanted to make them part of the Erev, we couldn't. Let's say, for example, this was an Ir Shel Yochid. In an Ir Shel Yochid, you don't need to have a shiur. Let's say it once upon a time was an Ir Shel Yochid, and now it's an Ir Shel Rav. Likewise, you don't need a shiur. If that was the situation, would we have been able to join that last row with the main part of the city? And the answer is no. Because that last row is completely separated from the main part of the city. There are no windows, there are no doors, there's no rider, there's no entrance to connect the two. So therefore, that this was Abaye's dilemma. When Chazal told us, in Ir Shel Rav, you have to have... It's because the battery is dead. The battery over here is commando. That's why it's making those sounds. Oh, don't worry about it. We probably have a battery. Probably have in the battery. No, it's over here. So we probably in the bag. There's a battery. All right, but I think we'll get by today. It's enough for today. So the kshal over here is what's annoying. It's very annoying. It's making this. I think it's fine. We'll get by today. Tomorrow next week we'll get a new battery. Yeah, because once in a while, because I think the battery is weak. Yeah. Okay, so we have over here, so this is our dilemma. A dilemma, Abaye's dilemma is, and Chazal told us, it's halacha, that you have to have an area that's left or that's not part of the Erev. What does that mean exactly? Does that mean as long if there's a section that's not part of it, it's good enough, even though there's no potential for them to join the city? Or no, part of the rule, we have to leave out a group of people who would have, under normal circumstances, had potential to be part of the main city. So that was his dilemma. So here we go back in the Gemara again. So he right away said, oh, excellent, Hane, this row, Leheve, let it be a shiur l'masa for the city. Had Amar, no, he then changed his mind. Ein Arvin Eskula Tanam. We learned in the Mishnah that if you're in the Ir Shel Rabim, you cannot make one large Erev, you must leave out Mechlau. What is the implication? De'i Bohi Le'ruve Matzim Arve. That if you wanted to make them into one joined Erev, you have to have potential. And since over here that you cannot join them, there is no potential, it's no good, you cannot use them for your Shir. Ella, so what's this grand solution? This is an expensive solution, and it involves a lot of tircha, and he's not going to have an easy time with the people. Ella, I'm going to bring in a construction company. Okay, we're going to bring in professionals, and they're going to drill windows. They're going to bring out their heavy-duty tools, and they're going to make windows in the back side of this street, this row. A window only has to be 4 tefachim by 4 tefachim, and that's the big window. And that way, that will be a halachic Pesach. And now, theoretically, if we wanted to join them together in the Erev, we can do so, because we have an opening, and we won't. We'll make the Pesach not to join them. You know the story of the desert island. Someone's on the desert island. He's there for many, many years. And they finally, after 50 years, they finally rescue the people on the desert island. Have you heard of Gilligan's Island? No? They finally rescue the person right on the island, and they come in. So they, how did you survive? Oh, you know, I did everything. We found food. This, I even built two shuls. So they said, what do you need on a desert island? Two shuls. That's the shul that I don't have in here. So I'm sure you'll heard this, right? But the point of it is, we have to make windows in order to make it. Those are the people that are not part of the Erev. right? That's exactly what we're doing. There has to be potential. They have to be potential for them, that if they want to be part of the area, if they can be part. So I'm going to make windows. Evelu kave, I'm going to make windows. The bohu, if I want the ruve, derech haloynes, if we would want, there would be potential to ruve derech haloynes, motzim arve. Okay, hodo amaru, so then Abaye said, you know what, guess what? And this is obviously a very great expense to do this, to bring in professionals to do the work. And also, you can imagine, the people living in these homes are not going to be very happy. The people living in this last row of homes are not going to be happy when someone's drilling away in their house and making a window in order to give them potential to join the air and then reject them. So Abayis, you know what? Hold on, Lloyd boy, you know what? You don't need it. Because I'm going to bring a ride from a Maisa Shehoya, a famous story, where we have a situation where they use people as a shiur, even though they did not have potential to join. What was the mice? So the Haraba Baravua. There was a mice. We had this, we learned this Gemara together, even though we only half the time. We actually happened to learn this Gemara together. What was the story? Rabba Vua, Ma'arvalo Mukula Mechuzah. He made there for the entire famous city of Mechuzah, Pearson Shas, Ar Saisa, an unusual word. It means neighborhoods. He made different neighborhoods. And what did we show him? Why? Peira de Beituri. And he used, because the reason why he did this, he didn't make one big joint area for the whole city, was because the different neighbors were separated one from the other. You couldn't make one big area because there were ditches that ran along the entire length of the city, and those ditches were used as feeding troughs for animals. And those ditches were like a wall, or a halachic wall, which halachically separated one section from the other section. So he made each section its own separate area. But there's a problem. Even though you're going to make each section its own separate area, but each section has the status of an ir shel rabbim. And in an ir shel rabbim, you have to have a shiur. So where is the shiur? So rabbi
said,
you have to leave over a part that's not part of the area. So even though he made each neighborhood into its own area, because everyone was separate from the other world, he's like, maybe we have a highway. No different today. You have a highway which runs to Williamsburg, right? It's mamash with mechitzas. You're dealing with real mechitzas deraisa that separates one section from the other section. There are walls, there are partitions, they're all different things. So therefore, that was a modern day highway. It wasn't for people; it was for animals. They had a certain thing, and it was separate. So he made it separate. Even for each community was separate. The problem is that each community itself requires a shear. Along came Rabbah, the Lom Shadin. Each community will be the shear for the other community. I don't have to make within each community its own separate section that's not going to have the Erev. The other community that's on the other side of the fence will be the shear for this community. But wait a minute. If you wanted to potentially join them all together, could you do so? No. Why not? Because there were walls between each section. Yet, that didn't hold back Rabbah. Rabbah held, even though you don't have potential to join them together, it doesn't make a bit of a difference. You can still do it. So therefore, Abaye took that as a precedent, a legal precedent, that if you want to make an Erev in an Ir Shel Rabbim, and you need a Shear, and the only area available for the Shear is a section which has no potential to join the main city, it does okay. It's fine. One more time the story. Our Saisa, neighborhood by neighborhood, because there was a ditch that was used for the oxen for eating purposes, and that separated one neighborhood from the other neighborhood. And as far as the problem of requiring a shiur in each neighborhood, no problem. Oh, the afal gav the ibohu la ruve bahade hadadi loy motsu ma'arva. You couldn't do it. So here it should be no different. So then Abaye said, so therefore I don't have to bring down the construction crew to make holes in the windows for this last row in order to give it potential. But then Abaye then went and he studied Mechuzah. He went to Mechuzah, he took out the maps, he pulled up the blueprints of Mechuzah, the city maps, and he realized, guess what? There are little bridges that go, even though it's true there are ditches that separate, but there were bridges that went from the roof of one part of the neighborhood, of one community, like over the highway. There are the pedestrian walkways. They're pedestrian. All over the way, go on the highway. Every time, every Dalai Lama, there's another pedestrian walkway going over.
So these ditches have to be 10
Yes, deep, yes. In order to actually have, they were 10 tzachim deep. That was the way it was. It didn't have to be. But the Mayi Shahayi in Mechuza, there were bridges which went from one neighborhood to the other neighborhood along the roofs of certain houses. Oh, that's a real Pesach. That bridge joins together the different neighborhoods. So now, theoretically, if he wanted to, he could have been Ma'orev the neighborhoods together if he wanted to. He chose not to, for whatever reason. But if he wanted to, he could have. So you can't compare that to the case at hand in this city of Kikunoi, the last block, that last row, has no potential whatsoever. If you wanted, you could have been making the Erev through the roofs. But here in this city of Kikunoi, where the last row is by the river, there's no bridge, there's no opening whatsoever, and there's no potential, and therefore he came to the conclusion you must have potential. If you don't have potential, you cannot use that section as your shir v'chani lo marve. Hilk, therefore, he has no choice. Na'avdon kave, I have no choice to call down the construction company and to send notices to all the people that we're going to come into your homes and make a lot of garbage, a lot of dust, and start drilling away and making windows. Then, right at the last minute, Chodor Omar, they found another mice, another legal precedent. Chodor Omar, Kavi Namiloi, but I don't need windows. Why not? There was another mice, a Shahoya, a different city. There was a mice, Shahoya, Hulavi, Tivna, Hadam, Lamar, Bar, Pupundisa. There was a storage facility for straw that was located for Mar, Bar, Popidosa. That was his name, Mipumpedisa, and Vishavia Shiur Lepumpedisa. And Mar Bar Popedisa, he used this facility, this storage facility, as a shiur for the city of Pumpedisa. The problem is, this storage facility is not a place where people live. So even if you wanted to actually incorporate it into the Erev, you couldn't, because it's not a place that's Royal Adira. It's not a place where people are living. So, and yet, even though there's no potential to join, there's no way you can join the part of the area because no one is living there, it has technical problems. Look in the Rosh, the Ubay Tivna, the Arminal Kamon, Halacha, Kerb Shim, the Loiboy, Nun, the Yul, the Shi, the Loiboy, he adds Mahaisa Shiul, the Yugdil Smukhla, because there they use this storage facility as a shiur, okay, even though there was no potential to join this area as part of the Erev. So therefore, Abaya took this as a precedent by someone that was, I guess, older and he could rely upon. This person, Marbar Popedisa, the Shavi Shilu Pumbedisa, and he uses a shiur. Omar, so he says, oh, so then, and therefore he was satisfied. So that was the bottom line. The bottom line was Abaya, he came to the city, of Pumbedisa, and they wanted to make an Erev. The only problem, the only halakhic complication was he needed a shiur, and the shiur that he wanted to use was a block, was a street, which had no access to the main part of the city. There was no potential to join them to the city. If there's no potential, does that hold you back from using that as a shiur? So he struggled with this issue, and he finally came to the conclusion, this thing went dead, and he finally came to the conclusion that you don't need a shiur because it's no worse than you don't need a shiur because of the legal precedent from the story of Mar Bar Popedisa. He used a storehouse of Teven for a shiur, even though the storehouse has no potential for a shiur. Omar, now Abaye said, I now understand the depth of the words of my Rebbe Rabbi Yosef, who told me, make sure they don't complain. Make sure they don't complain about you in the Beis Medrash, because he realized that this was an issue, and if he would have drilled windows in these people's homes, these people would have been very upset that I have damaged the structure of their wall by drilling these holes, and it was not necessary, because to make a shear for a larger city, you don't need there to be potential to join together, just like we find in the city of Pompidisa, what was done by Mar Bar Popidos. And therefore, I now appreciate the warning my Rebbe gave me, Rabbi Yosef gave me, make sure I don't have any complaints about you in the Beis Medrash about doing things which are not required. It would have been a chumrah that was not necessary. And when you do chumrahs that are not necessary, you get yourself into a lot of trouble. Okay, that's the Musa Haskel here of this Gemara. Okay, right to the Gemara. Tayin l'braisa, Amrar.
I have here a battery, but I feel like this battery is dead. It was never recharged. You want to open it? Here, try to open it.
Omar, right next to Omar. Okay, next. Shukatani London Rice. Ella, in Kinas Lachutzala, Kiir Chadasha. We learned in the Gemara that if you have a large city, and you want to leave over Shir Shalram, you want to leave over Shir, so what's the halacha? The halacha is you need. Here's a pencil. You got it. It's probably not going to work anyway, so it doesn't matter. Because look at that. That's the real deal. Yeah.
Dangerous person.
Oh wow, it works. How could it work? Look at that. It really works. Ooh, it's so red. Okay. Does it work? Does that work? No. Can you turn it on? I have a feeling the plug, it's not plugged in.
Is it plugged in?
It's just maybe turn on and off. Make sure the plug is in tight. No, it's not. Okay, so is the plug in tight?
Yeah.
I'm sure it's in. Just going to give it a push, because it's going to go out in a second. All right. Some people get obsessed, like me, with crazy mishigas. How much of a difference does it really make? It's this microphone. Each his own. Okay, next Gemara. So we learned in the Mishnah you have to leave over a section of the city that's not part of the Erev. What's the how many people must be not included in the Erev in order to be a good Erev? So we learned that it has to be the size Elim Kinasa Chutzula Ki Ir Chadasha. What is an ear chadasha? So we learned already in the Mishnah, where's Maskan? There was an actual name of a city. In fact, I found here in the footnotes in the Masifta, it's found in Sefer Yoshua. In Sefer Yoshua, listening to the Gevulois of Eretz Yisrael, it says in Perek Tes Vapasik Lamed Zayin, Tsinon Vachadasha Umigdol God. Okay, so it's a pasuk. It's a pasuk in Yeshua. It was an actual city, and this city had 50 residents, and that's the minimum size. So let's see the one where it says Tanya Lo Nebraisa Amar Yehuda Ir Achas. What?
New city.
Ir Chadash. Right. New York. We got New York, New Jersey, New Brunswick.
New city.
Right now they built a new city. Now
it's called New City.
New City. That's the name of the city. New City.
It's called New City.
New City. Okay.
Yeah, right.
Tanya Omar Rabbi Yehuda Ir Achas Chaysa Yehuda VeChadash Shema. There was a city in Yehuda, and its name is Chadash. There were 50 residents. Anoshim, including men, Venoshim, women, Vitaf, and children. Bohayu Mesharim, and they used use the city as a model, chachamim, to count how many people you need to be as a shiur for the main city. The he haisa shiur, this was a shiur for the main city.
50 people.
50 people, exactly. But he uses an example that in the year they didn't have 50 men, they had 50 combination of men, women, and children.
50 human beings,
including men, women, and children. Here, let's say chadash. Now, chadash is only 50 people. We learn the only time you need a shiur is when you have, this is a very big kasha, all the parshim grapple with, the only time you need a shiur is if it's an ear shel rabim. And according to Rashi, Rashi teaches ear shel rabim to mean shishim ribay. So the Gemara is, does chadash itself need a shiur? What kind of kasha is that? Chadash only has 50 people. You're 500,000, 595,550 short of an Yir Shal Rahim. What's the Shaila that you should need a Shir for Chadash? You only have 50 people. The only time you need a Shir is, you have, according to Rashi, 600,000 people. So the answer the Farshim gave, one of the answers is in Echnam. The city only has 50 people, but there's a road. There's a road that passes right down the middle of the city. It's a major league highway. We don't even have such highways there. We have 600,000 people in the highway, but it's amazing. You have a city of 50 people, and right down the middle of the city, there's a highway. You have a public highway where Shishim Riboy pass every single day. And therefore, the shaila now is, you want to put up doors, okay? Because you can't make an erev in a Rishus Sarabim, so you want to put up doors to close off the street for Shabbos. And Shabbos, no one's passing through the street, okay? And we want to make an erev here. Can, so it's an Ir Shel Rab, not because of the residents. There are only 50 residents, but there's a highway that passes. We're going to make an Erev on Shabbos. Does the Ir Chadasha need had to have a shiur within itself? So Ir Ibalu Chadasha Mal Chadasha Kiyechad Iu Have Yeshiur Lugdoyla. So Shaila is, do we say just a Chadasha? Do you not have Yeshiur Lugdoyla Gedoyla? So what's the Shaila? So the Gemara says, the Gemara is making the following assumption. We're dealing over here with Chadasha is right, is adjacent to another city. That's Nechatimsa. We have a major league city, 600,000 people. And along the edge of the city, we have a city that is like a Chadasha, a little city of 50 people. So the little city of Chadasha, even though it's connected to the main city, is a shiur for the major city. So the Gemara says the same way that Chadash is a shiur for the major city is a shiur for Chadasha. So if there's a highway that passes right down the middle of Chadasha, and we want to make an erev in Chadasha, and let's say Taka say you do need a shiur, well, what's the shiur? We have a shiur. Because the other city that's adjacent to Chadasha will be the shiur for Chadasha. So the Gemara says, know that. Don't bother me with obvious cases. My shaila is when you have a chadasha alone, and chadasha is not adjacent to a major league city. Ela ke'ein chadasha mahu. My shaila to you is: what happens if we have in the middle of nowhere, a little teeny city of 50 people, and this little city happens to have a highway running through it, and it does not have a major league city adjacent to it to serve as the shiur for itself? What is the halacha? So here we have machlekes. Rav Huna, it's machlekes. Rav Huna, Rav Yehuda. Chadam one says ba'ayashir, v'chadam aloy ba'ayashir. It's machlekes. One says it does, and one says it does not. And basically, if you don't have, that means now obviously you're not going to be required to be all 50 people. If the whole city only has 50 people, then obviously it's scaled down. Obviously, you only have to leave over a much smaller amount, but according to one opinion, they have a very small city of 50 people, which is called an Ir Shalom, due to technical details. According to one opinion, within the city itself, you must leave over a certain section, a couple of people that are not going to be part of the Eruv, and nor we should not forget the Torah HaSeirv. That's one opinion. The other opinion says no. The only time you need to have a shiur is when you have a significant size. When the city is so small and only 50 people, that's not large enough that you should require within it to have a shiur. Next. Now we learned what is the size of Machlokes. According to one opinion, the shiur is the size of Ir Chadasha, 50 people. Then we had another opinion, and the shiur is two courtyards. I'm sorry, three courtyards, and each one of the courtyards must have at least two batim for a grand total of six. Six, three courtyards.
Right.
The first opinion says you have to have 50 people.
Right.
The second opinion says, no, you have to have three courtyards.
Right.
And within each courtyard, two batim, two homes. So three times two is six. A grand total of six batim. Rabbi Shimon Megim Chatzeres, Amar Chomar Guria, Amar Rav Halach, Rabbi Shimon Pasach, Rabbi Shimon, you need to have six batim, three courtyards, which two batim each. Rabbi Yitzchok Amar, he's very lenient. He holds a filu bayis echad, one bayis, the chotzer achas, and one courtyard. One bayis and one courtyard, which seemingly they're different, they're separate. There's a lone bayis and a lone courtyard. The Mursa Kasha, chotzer achas lachadaitach. What's the purpose of living over a courtyard? A courtyard is not anyway roy to join there. There's no one living there in the courtyard. It doesn't make any sense, a courtyard. The ikur is to have a person living in the courtyard. What do you mean a courtyard? Chotzer achas lachadaitach, ele ema no bayis echad, bichotzer achas. According to Yitzchak, he's very lenient. You have to have at least a bayis within a courtyard.
With,
I guess so. With the people living in the bayis. People living in the bayis and the bayis in the courtyard. And that entire courtyard is not going to be part of the Erev. You don't need 50. You don't need to have three courtyards. You don't have to have two within each courtyard. All you need to have is one courtyard with one bayis. That is sufficient to serve as a shiur for a very large city. Everyone knows, you live in a city with 5 million people, everyone's not going to forget there's something called an Erev, because everyone knows that in that courtyard, you can't go. You can't carry. One little courtyard with one little bias, that is enough to serve as a reminder of the laws of Shabbat. Just goes to show you psychologically, it's unbelievable. Even a teeny mashahu could have make a roshim on a person. When you do tshuva, when you do a mitzvah, even a little spark, you can't even begin to imagine how much a little teeny spark can go in reminding a person and reminding a person of what your tafkid of in this world is. Afilu bayis zecha b'chotzer achas. Amuleya bayil Rav Yosef. Now, bayis Rav Yosef, you know, I'm very curious about this Rav Yitzchak. Rav Yitzchak says one bayis and one chotzer. Where does that come from? Is this halacha l'Moshe Sinai, or did he make this up on his own misvara? Gemara, is this a tradition? This goes back to a teaching which is rooted in something very deep, which I don't know. Or svara, he invented this logic on his own. Amalei, so Rav Yosef says to him, what difference does it make? We don't paskin like Rav Yitzchak. We paskin like Rabbi Shimon. You need three courtyards, and within each courtyard, you need two batim. Amalei ma'naf glachmina. What difference does it make? So he said to him, it makes a big difference, because when you're learning Amalei Gemara zimurta tehei, should I learn the Gemara like a song? What do you think this is here? You learn the Gemara, it's a song. The Gemara has depth, has meaning. Even though we don't paskin like Rav Yitzchak, if I'm learning Torah and Torah, you have to understand the essence of what the person says. To understand, is it a Mesoira? Is it a Svara? Understand the Svara. Understand where the Mesoira comes from. Even though we don't paskin halacha l'maisa, like this opinion, but whatever he says has value in Torah, and it can be used elsewhere in halacha or itself. There's a limud musar in what it means, and therefore don't tell me I should just learn the Gemara like a song and not concentrate on the inner depth of what it means. The famous expression of Gemara, 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 Zimurta Tehei? Question mark. Should I learn the Gemara, the Talmud, like a song? Chas v'shalom. When you learn a Gemara, you have to learn it l'shem shemam. You have to learn to understand what the depth of the halacha means. Right, now we go to the Mishnah. Mishnah is Sobe Mizrach. Now let's learn the Mishnah according to Gemara's Havamina. What's other words? There are two opinions in Gemara. Now maybe if I take a, give me a red sitter. I just need some, maybe one more thing. I look at the battery, okay? I have here on the table three things. Got a battery, I got a red sitter, I got a blue sitter. So we're going to call the red the bias. Because everyone remembers the red is the bias. This is where I live. That's my home. This little guy, this is my son. Okay, he's a little guy. Okay, small. And this is me, I'm the big guy. The big guy is the blue sitter. Okay, the blue sitter is the big guy. So here's the Shiloh. Me, Shahai. Now the case, the way we're going to learn the Gemara right now is, we're going to put the little guy over here, and we're going to put the bias over here, we're going to put me over here. So let's. This is critical to understand the Mishnah, and this is one of two ways to understand the Mishnah. The Gemara is going to present another way in a few moments, but this will be the Maskana. So do not worry. Here I am. Here is the bias is in the middle, And the Erev, my son is my shaliach. He is my agent. I told my son, Sonny boy, Erev Shabbos, I want you to go and put down bread at the Tchum in order that I can walk on Shabbos more. I can walk from where you put down my bread, 2,000 amas, in the other direction. The son goes and he puts down the bread over here. Where do I live? Where do I have a bed? A nice, comfortable bed? Here, in my bias. Where am I standing? Now, normally, where would I be normally expect to be found when Shabbos begins? At home, right? Right? Ancient times, you didn't go to shul Friday night. Not necessarily. At least, Ben HaShemosha, see you home. That's where I'm supposed to be. But I was busy. Maybe I went to shul early. So where was I, Erev Shabbos Ben HaShemoshos, at the time when the air would take effect? I was on the road in the east. Libi b'mizrach. And my Erev is the Ma'ariv.
How far was it?
Oh, so that's the Shaila. So the Mishnah, let me tell you the Mishnah on the outside and we'll read inside. If my Erev is, now, where am I? If this Erev is more than 2,000 amos away from where I stand, I'm out of range. It is critical. When you are kohen shvi'is, Erev Shabbos, Ben HaShemoshos, and you put down an Erev, you must be within range of your Erev in order for the Erev to work. If you are now within range, within 2,000 amos of where you're putting down your bread, then the Erev is nonsense. It doesn't work. It's not valid. So then, now, here comes the big question. If it's not valid, where then are you kohen shvi'isa? So you would say, well, if my Erev doesn't work, the default is wherever I am. But not necessarily. If you have a bias, a nice, comfortable dwelling place, a nice home, where you have food and a bed and company and all the good things in life, we assume you want to be in your home. So here's our dilemma. Here's a very interesting shaila. Here I am. I tell my son, Erev Shabbos, put down for me an Erev. He puts down an Erev over here. I happen to be standing over here, Erev Shabbos Ben HaShemoshos. From here to my home is less than 2,000 amos. But from where I stand to where my Erev is, my son puts down the Erev, it's 3,000 amos. So one thing is for sure, the Erev doesn't work. If the Erev doesn't work, so where am I kohen shvi'isa? Since I am within 2,000 amos from my home, I'm kohen shvi'isa in my home. And therefore, where can I go on Shabbos? I can go 2,000 amos in all four directions from my home. So I go from my home to over here. I can't go 4,000 amos because the Erev doesn't work. Wherever my home is, I can go 2,000 amos this way, that way, and that way. Fine. Now let's say, I tell my son, put down the Erev, and my son puts down the Erev over here, and I am over here. From here to here is 1,999, it's 2,000 amos. Okay. Excellent. I'm kohen shvi'isa here, not in my home. And I'm kohen shvi'isa, since I'm within range, here is my shvi'isa, and I can travel on Shabbos 2,000 directions in all four directions, which means right now I can't take even one step in this direction. I'm now at my outer limit. If I, between where I am standing and my son put down the Erev, is exactly 2,000 amos, that means I have already reached the outer limit of where I can walk from my where I'm kohen shvi'isa. I can't walk one arm in that direction, but I can walk to my Erev and I can walk another 2,000 amos in that direction. Okay, very straightforward. Let's see the mission. Mishra b'mizrach. I am in the Mizrach, right? Here on the East Coast. Think of this as America. Here is L.A. Here is New York. Right, I'm on the East Coast. Three time zones. We'll make a microcosm of the whole America for 2,000 amos. So here I am. Mishra b'mizrach. Make it there for me in the West. Or b'mayrif. Vice versa. Okay, same exact case. Okay, all the way around. I am b'mayrif. And my son is the Mizrach. Okay, same thing. We're not going to go through, we're not going to risk because we'll get too confused, but the same thing will be all the way around. Oy! If you have between where you stand and Lubei Soy Alpai Mama, but Ule'eruvo Yoyser Mikan, more than 2,000 Amos, Motor Lubei Soy, the Osir, and it's Osir to go Le'eruvoy. Now let's say Alpai, you gotta go to your bias, the Osir, you now gotta go to your, because the Eruv is too far, it's out of range. Le'ruvoy alpai mama, but let's say to your Eruv you can reach its 2,000 amas. Ulebesoy, but to your bias, ulebesoy. Now this the Gemara is very disturbed. What exactly is this case? What's the next? The Gemara's maskan is going to say, okay, we'll just read the words very quickly and then the Gemara will explain it. Le'ruv, Mutar lebeis of eruv le'eruvay al payim amo. But let's say I can reach my eruv; it's within 2,000 amos. Ulebeisoy yeser mikan. So it's pashut. Okay, I'll make up a case now. It'll be the Gemara. This is the difficulty. Let me just tell you the Gemara outside. The Gemara assumes, for the sake of simplicity, that the entire Mishnah is the same. If the Mishnah starts out, I am here, and my bias is here, and my son is here, that's the case. That must be the case throughout the entire Mishnah. The only difference in the ratio of Seifa is distance. How far we spread, but you always have the bias in the middle, the son is always on the left, and the father is always on the right. If that's the case, the next words of the Mishnah don't make any sense. Because the next words of the Mishnah say, if between where I'm standing and my Eruv is less than 2,000 amos, but my bias is more than 2,000 amos, how could that be? If I can go from here to here, I can certainly go from here to here.
Right.
Doesn't make any sense. So we have to one of two things. We have to say either that the case of the Mishnah, that's not the case. If you want to say the case of the Mishnah is one big case, and we're not switching sides, we're going to have to find a new case that will make sense. Or, I'll tell you, the Gemara is one answer of the Gemara. The Gemara says no. The bias is in between. But instead of it being up north, it's down by Florida. It's down south. So then you have a Hecha Timsa where it's in between. The bias is talking in between. But it's on a diagonal. Ah. So from here to here is less than 2,000 amos. But from here to here is more than 2,000 amos. Because you're going on the diagonal. But in every single case, the bias is indeed in the middle. So it makes sense. That's called the case of the Alachsoin, okay, on the diagonal. So it's very good. The whole Mishnah is consistent, the same exact case, but it's on the Alachsoin. That's how I'm shy right for the moment right now.
But the Erev is 2,000.
Because it's on a diagonal. Also, you can't go to your bias. You can't choose your bias. Okay, new case. You have a city. You have the ibur. Let's say here's the city. You're kind of shvitz in the city. Where can you walk? 2,000 amos. Not so. You get a bonus. What's the bonus? The ibur. Ibur means the extension of the city, which means 70 and 2/3 amos. So first leave the city and travel 70 and 2/3 amos. And from the edge of the 70 and 2/3 amos, you can travel. That's where the tchum first begins. You can go 2,000 amos. Okay, so it's basically part of this open land of 70 and 2/3 amos. It's basically a chelik of the city itself. So what happens if you want to be kind of shvisa? So you take bread. I don't want to be kind of shvisa. I want to be kind of shvisa outside the city. And I put my erev at amos 70 outside the city. You have accomplished absolutely nothing. Because if you put down bread, let's say you put down bread in the city itself. I want to be kind of shvisa here in the bias. You know what? Instead of being kind of shvisa in the bias, I'm going to take bread, I'm going to put it out there in that room over there. So I'll be closer. I can travel more in that direction. It's nonsense. Even if you don't put the bread in that room, you can travel as far as you want, because the tchum first begins on the border of the city. Putting bread in one room closer to the boundary of the city doesn't do anything for you. Right? Doesn't make right? Doesn't. So the same principle is true when you put bread along the Eber Shalir. It doesn't do anything for you. It's not. Anyway, you can go there. Anyway, the tchum starts from 2,000 amos. So that's exactly what it says. Let's say it's a ruva beibur shalir. However, in the sunny chutz l'tchum, afilu ama achas, I put it one ama outside the ibur shalir. So now, normally, you can go and you can travel from the wall of the city 2,070. You can travel 2,070. Let's say we'll round it up 2,071 amas. Because first you get the ibur, and then you have 2,000 amas. I put my bread at ama 72. So now, how far can I walk I can really walk. I can walk. If you were to count it from the wall of the city, you can walk 2,072, because I was kind of shlis, so one amma outside the Ibar Shali. I have exactly 2,000 ammas from where my bread is. I have gained one amma by putting the bread one amma outside the Ibar Shali. I can now walk one amma in that direction, but I'm going to lose my ability to travel in the other direction by one amma. And now we'll see in the Gemara what that means. That's the whole sugya to itself. Exactly what it means. You're going to lose one amma. Normally you can travel in the opposite direction, 2,000 ammas. Now you're going to travel 1,099 ammas, because since I've kind of shoes one amma this way, I'm going to lose one amma that way. But that really has to be defined clear, as we'll see in the Gemara in a few moments, what that means exactly. So I know you say, the sin. Okay, always confuse those two words. Niskar with the sin means to profit. Sochor. The same sochor tov. And with the shin, it means shechar. Intoxication, beer, or drunkenness. Shechar. Right? When he does say, Kriyashma Laman Tizkiru, the Zion, and not Laman
Tiskiru.
The sin is similar to the Zion, not the shin. Tiskiru. What's Tiskiru mean? Profit. Laman Tiskiru doesn't make any sense. In order that I should profit in this world. That's not why you look at the tzitzis. You look at the tzitzis to profit. You look at the tzitzis in order that you shall remember. Not the sin. The sin is the profit. Fine. You gain in this direction, you lose in the direction. Now let's go back to the case of the words, because Salkadai, we thought, now let's go back to our original case. Our original case was blue, red, and the battery. The battery is the little guy, he's the sun. The bias is in the middle. I'm standing here. The first part of the mission makes perfect sense. 2,000 amas to the bias, but more than 2,000 amas to the Erev. So what happens? Erev gone, I'm cutting the streets in the bias. Kasal kedaitach, lemizroch, lemizroch beso. Where am I? I am lemizroch beso, lemarv, lemarv beso. And I, when it says lemarv, that's the second part of which I told my son to put the Erev in the marv, it means the marv of the beso. And vice versa, the other way around. Bishloima, the first part of the mission, heimen ule beso, al paimama, ule eruva yoyser mikan mishkach asla. In the second case, where my Erev is in the west, I'm in the east. So, and I can reach my bias. Okay, we understand the bias is less than 2,000 amas. But the Erev is more. It makes perfect sense. The muscle base of the muscle Erev, as we explained. Ella, but the second part, if we're going to make the assumption that the Mishnah is consistent, and in the entire Mishnah, the bias is in between the Erev and where you are standing, then the second part of the Mishnah does not make sense. Ella, heimenu le'ruvoi, the second part from where you stand to the Erev is alpayim amma, you can reach, but ulebeso yeser mikan, it's more than 2,000 amas, hechem mishkachas, so that's not true. If you can reach the Erev, it's within 2,000 amas, and the bias is in between yourself and Erev, certainly you can reach the bias. So now we have two answers. Am Rav Yitzchak misavar to lemizroch lemizroch beso lemarv lemarv beso loy lemizroch lemizroch benoy lemarv lemarv beno. Okay, answer number one is, we got the case all wrong. It's not the pshat where the bias is in between yourself and your son. The bias is all the way at the end. Your son is in between. So therefore, you told your son to make the Erev Lamarv means more west of you, or the two different cases are when you tell this, you tell, or your son is over here. When you tell your son to make it Marva Mizrach, the bias is always stationary. The bias is always over here. That's the question. That's two parts of the Mishnah. First part of the Mishnah is I'm standing here, and my Erev is over here. In other words, so this is the first part of the Mishnah. I tell my son, put down the Erev. My son puts down the Erev, and the Erev is out of range. The Erev is from where I am standing to where the Erev is, it's more than 2,000 amas out of range. But my bias is within 2,000 amas. So where am I going to Shvisa? The bias. What's the next part of the Mishnah? Where, all the way around, No. I'm sorry. It's always the same. Sorry, it's always the same. All the way around. That's the point. The whole point is always the same. The next part of the Mishnah is where my Erev... Let's take a step back. I'm sorry. First part was where the Erev is out of range, but the Bias is in range. Because the sun put it very far away, but I'm within the Bias. So what's halacha in this case? Forget about that. I'm kind of shlitzah because I'm within 2,000 amas. What's the next part of the Mishnah? Pum Fakert. Where I'm standing here. So am I within range to my Erev? Yes. Am I within range to my Bias? No. It's more than 2,000 amas. So this makes perfect sense. When we adjust the Mishnah and we say it's in the Hav Amina, let's review the steps. In the Hav Amina, the Gemara insists that the Mishnah is discussing one case. Everything is relative, is in the same relative position. And the Hav Amina, we assumed the Bias is in the middle. I am standing here, and my son is standing here. And now we got a problem, because when it's the first part of the Mishnah makes sense. I can reach the Bias, but I can't reach the Erev, right? It's 4,000 amas to the Erev, and it's only 2,000 amas. That makes sense. The next part of the Mishnah says, or I can reach the Erev, but I can't reach the Bias. If you can reach the Erev, of course you can reach the Bias. It doesn't make any sense. So the Gemara says, you know why you got this problem? Because you're learning the case all wrong. Whoever told you the Bias is in the middle. That's not the case. The Bias is over here. The Bias is at the end. You're in the middle. Egocentric. Here is your son. Now it makes sense. The first case is, you can't reach the Erev. You can't reach there because the Erev is more than 2,000 amas away. But I can reach the Bias. Right? I can reach the Bias because the Bias is within 2,000 amas. The next case, the Mishnah is, I can't reach the Bias, but I can reach the Erev. I'm within 2,000 amas of the Erev, but I'm more than 2,000 amas away from the Bias. So it makes perfect sense. When we change who is in the middle, everything makes perfect sense.
Position.
Then we go to the second answer, which I already told you. Rava bar Shila Amar. No. I like the original case. The original case is very nice. The Bias in the middle. I'm over here. My Erev is over here. Ozikash. How could it possibly be where you can reach your Erev and you can't reach the Bias? And the Bias in the middle. I have a solution. Who says they're in one row? The Bias is talking in the middle, but the Bias all the way down south. Ah, all the way down south.
More than 2,000.
Yeah. So the diagonal going from here to here is exactly 2,000 amas. But if the Bias is down south, the diagonal can be, theoretically, if you pull the Bias all the way down, can be more than 2,000 amas. So the Mishnah, from beginning to end, is dealing with the same situation where the Bias is in the middle, the sun is on the left, you're on the right, and the only issue is, where is the Bias? The Bias can slide. If the Bias is in the middle, then in Echnami, you can reach the Bias, but you can't reach the Erev. But if you pull the Bias all the way down like this, it's possible for you to be able to reach the Erev if it's within 2,000 amas, but you can't reach the Bias because the Bias is more than 2,000 amas in that last one. The original version, next. It says you put the Erev outside the Tchum. Now, the words are technical difficulty in the Mishnah. The Mishnah says you put the Erev outside the Tchum. The exact words of the Mishnah was, Hanois Zeruva Bibur Shalir Loi Asav Loi Kum Nosnel Chutz L'Tchum. If you put your Erev outside the Tchum, Afilu Am Achas, one Amo, Mashe Niskar Humafsid. What are you talking about? If you put your Erev outside of your Tchum, there is no Erev. That's the fundamental rule of Aruvim, that you have to be able to become in contact with your Erev on Shabbos. If the Erev is out of range, it's not a kosher Erev. So the more you just a translation of the words. Chutz, it says, Chutz l'tchum sagadaitach ele'emo chutz libura. Change the girsa. It doesn't mean outside of the tchum, because if you put your Erev outside the 2,000 amas, of course it's not going to be a kosher Erev. It means outside of the ibura shel ear. Then you gain whatever you gain, whatever you're going to gain on one side, you're going to lose on the other side. Masha niskar hu mafsid, masha niskar v'sulo. Only that's that it. The Atanya, but you're going to lose a lot more. The Atanya, if you put it within the Ibur, like we learned before, you gain nothing. Like Kashya Kansha Kulsa Midasa Bhasvina is a beautiful Gemara, unfortunately out of time. Really very very sensitive Gemara. But basically the Gemara is saying like this. The Gemara is saying, here's my city. Make believe my city is 3,000 amas. Make believe it's 3,000 amas. And I'm going to Shvisa. Where does my tchum begin? At the end of the city. So basically, how much do I have to walk one way? 5,000 amas. From the city. And then, let's say I put the Eruv outside the city. I put the Eruv, let's say, 5 amas outside the city. How far can I go? I know the whole city, I lose the whole city. I go 5,000 amas. And another 1,995 amas. And that's where I stop. You lose the city. So listen, you're only going to lose one amma. I'm in the city. I put my Erev outside the city. Oh, guess what? Until now I can go 2,000. Now I can go 2,001. Okay, so you gained one here. You lose one in this direction. You lose a lot more than one in this direction. You can't even go even one amma in this direction. Not only can you go in this direction, you can't even walk in the city the entire, in a situation where the city is more than 2,000 amas. You can't even walk in the city 2,000 amas. So you're losing a lot. So that's the Gemara. The Gemara gives a long answer, which we don't have time for now.